MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.
Terence Cole de Villiers, he's head of equities at Ashburton Investments. Cole, appreciate the time today. A recent note you put out, I was going to say celebrating 3 years of your fund, but you make the point it's not about a celebration so much. But you made a quote that really stood out to me. The richness of things that matter in life are the result of the compounding of long periods of the more mundane and still important daily activities. The big exciting wins come from doing the basics boringly and well, really. And that's true in investing. It's true in anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, how we view our process, really. And, you know, everybody likes to think it's quite romantic, but a lot of what we do, or a lot of the value I think we provide, is actually just, you know, rolling up your sleeves on a day-to-day basis and really just, you know, grinding out research, updating models, speaking to management. And, you know, a lot of times the opportunity isn't even there to invest in the shares that you're updating, et cetera, but you have to have discipline to actually continue with that and be diligent. And so when the market opportunity comes, you know, your pencil's sharp and you don't have to second guess yourself, and you can actually have the conviction and the fortitude to actually, you know, move against the herd on occasions. And yeah, and I think that it's exactly that discipline on a day-to-day basis that gives you that confidence, really. I suppose that's my view.
I was at a presentation last week and spoke about Usain Bolt, who 8 gold medals. His entire Olympic career was 2 minutes, 120 seconds. But of course, it's a decade of getting to those 2 minutes. The 3 years that you and your team have been running the Ashburton Equity Fund, I mean, it's almost been, I don't know, a decade or two of investing into 1 3-year period. Post-pandemic, we had massive tech bear markets, we had inflation, supply chains, interest rates, everything really crammed into one tight 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely made us keep awake and on top of things. I mean, as you mentioned, coming out of the pandemic, you had like a mini resource cycle with the supply chain constraints, and we were fortunate enough to have got that right. And also, you know, as those resource companies got closer to what we thought was fair value, we also managed to take a lot of that off. And then, you know, post that, we've kind of had, you know, the elections and looking at the impact on the local market. And we got into a lot of financials, you know, also maybe earlier than elections, where there was, in our mind, too much pessimism priced in, and there was a re-rating on the back of that. So we got that. And then obviously post-elections, there's been a bit of, you know, SA Inc. improvement in sentiment, and that's kind of given almost a second leg to that. So we've also managed to do that. But I think, you know, probably one of the big drivers of what we've done, you know, very well, which is a bit of a differentiator for our portfolio, is, you know, we are smaller in size versus a lot of our peers at the moment. That's given us the flexibility to invest quite meaningfully in the SA mid-cap space. And that's been a big driver of our portfolio performance over the last 3 years. And, you know, I think out of the 5 top best performing shares, I think a week or two back when we looked, 3 of them we owned out of the top 5. So those were all mid-cap shares. So, you know, I think we've done well in being able to pick some winners. You know, we obviously don't get all the winners, that will, you know, some of the larger shares, the growth shares, that like the Capitec and the ShopRite, which, you know, typically our process, you know, we find that those are the type of shares that we don't tend to own, shares that are high quality shares that are continue to outperform and exceed expectations. I mean, our process will miss those from time to time, but we're comfortable with that fact, and that we've got to just work harder on other ideas and make up that ground, you know.
But it comes back to your earlier point around know your stocks, and it might not be a stock you're investing in, but you know it. And you've also been much lighter on offshore weightings than many others because of that, you know your stock. And I look at the US market, 15,000 shares. I honestly don't know where to start. Yeah, I can do filters and the like, but the JSE just looks to me as like, that's a manageable number of stocks, and I can become fairly expert in many of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think since we took over the fund 3 years ago, we had a small exposure. I don't think at any one time we had more than 10%. I think probably close to 6% exposure to our global fund in our local portfolio. Mm-hmm. So, you know, largely the performance we've delivered has come out of the local market and our stock selection in the local market. And we got to the point at the beginning of the year saying, you know, this is our area, circle of competence, this is our area of expertise. And we actually kind of formally moved the fund to be a SA equity building block, should I say. And yeah, so we're only investing in locally listed companies. And as you say, I think we're happy that we know the market well, and we're sticking to our circle of competence.
And circle of competence, this is not a comment necessarily saying US or offshore is overvalued or whatever. It does just come back to that circle of competence.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we have, as you would have maybe seen recently in the press, Ashburton's done a deal with Morgan Stanley. So we are obviously very aware that clients are not going to have all their assets in South Africa, and there's obviously diversification, and there is opportunities for clients to go offshore via our partners and our own funds. But I mean, we just feel that, you know, clients are still going to need SA exposure. There is still opportunity. Obviously, you've seen over the last year a big rally in SA equities. So, you know, for almost a decade, there was a lot of pessimism about, and, you know, almost like, you know, the market was probably under the assumption. A lot of people were under the assumption we're in structural decline and things were never going to change. But, you know, life is cyclical. So we've seen our re-rate and we were lucky enough to pick up a lot of the benefit from that within our portfolio.
And I want to say something which is perhaps, I mean, it might almost be a dangerous statement to say, but there's, even in a market of the JSE's size, there's particularly, and you've got the added advantage of you can move into the mid-cap, there's always going to be opportunity. There is alpha. You and your team have to find it.
Yes, no, 100%. We definitely have the view that, you know, even post the rally, there's still a lot of opportunities within the local market. If you look at, like, you know, our MDD, our top 10, it doesn't look a hell of a lot different to a lot of our larger peers. But as you get to the bottom end of our top 10, you know, our top mid-cap names will start popping up there. And our top five overweight positions are all mid-caps. They're all companies with market caps less than 20 billion. So not necessarily obvious to everybody that just looks at the fund on face value, but underneath that, you know, we're really backing ourselves and we've got conviction in a number of counters and we're following through with that, really, putting our money where our mouth is, should I say.
Yeah, 100%. We leave it there. Shaun de Villiers, Head of Equities, Ashburton Investments. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.